Hello, my friends. This is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. On the line with me, I have someone I'm really excited about. About a year ago, we had Mark Podolsky, the Land Geek, here on the podcast, and I've been documenting my journey every quarter or so in terms of some of my financial experiments. You may know that I bought an online business. I had, of course, have this podcast, and then I started flipping raw land. Our next guest, he's been doing it for a little while. We're going to talk to him about his journey. He is actually a coach with the community and someone that's been a nice resource for me from time to time. And I'm really looking forward to discussing with him and his journey and what it's been like, because I haven't actually heard his story. So please help me welcome to the podcast, Scott Bossman. Scott, welcome.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, I was telling you before we got going that Mark was a guest on the podcast, and that's kind of how I ran into him. I'd love to know from you, what was your journey into getting into the land investing business?
Sure. Yeah. So about 3 years ago, I was very stressed one day at work and came home and kind of looked at my wife and said, we needed to do something different, as far as income. So, I'm a physical therapist. It's a high stress job at times, and we have four boys, and as you and I were speaking about before, it's hard to keep them fed, let alone save up for college. And so I just, you know, we had a discussion about introducing some passive income into our lives, and you know, how might we go about that. So I started doing just a ton of research on real estate. I think I read every Rich Dad Poor Dad book there was. I started listening to podcasts. I was a avid listener at the time of Keith Weinhold's podcast, Get Rich Education. It had just come out, and I was listening to every episode because I really liked what he had to say. And I think episode 17 was an episode with Mark Podolsky, the Land Geek. And I read the summary. It said something about, you know, flipping raw land, getting into land investing to generate passive income. And I thought, that sounds really boring. So I'm going to skip that podcast. Well, I don't know why, but a couple weeks later, I decided, well, I better go back and listen to that podcast, because I've listened to all these other ones. I don't want to miss anything. So I went back and listened to that podcast that featured Mark. And from the moment I heard Mark explain the business model, I was hooked. You know, the idea that you can purchase raw land for pennies on the dollar and then turn around and sell it for either cash or on terms. And those terms deals is where you really generate your passive income. I was hooked. We were actually on the verge of purchasing a duplex where we were, you know, we had looked at a couple duplexes. We actually formed an LLC thinking we were going to get into real estate in that regard, but we kind of put that on hold and sought training with the Land Geek. And I first, Mark really has three different tiers of coaches, coaching in his community. There's the low level investor toolkit. So we just purchased that and got into it. And I digested that thing from front to back and was actually successful in purchasing a few properties that way. And my first big aha moment was when I sold a piece of property for $2,800 that I had initially purchased for $700.
Wow. Well, let me stop you there for a moment, Scott. I want to backtrack a little bit. So you did what I did. You got the investor's toolkit. And tell me about what immediately happened after that. Like, what, maybe you don't want to say what specific counties or what have you, or if you do, that'd be great too. But how did you decide upon where you wanted to start? You know, because that's one of the harder things to get going in this business. which I got a little overwhelmed with, which luckily for me, I was able to get like 30 lists. Right. So getting the list for me was easy. Then I was like, holy crap, which one do I pick?
Right.
So tell me, for you, how did you get started? Why did you pick a particular county or what have you?
So in the Investor Toolkit, Mark supplies you with what he calls his hot list of counties. There are probably 30 or 40 counties on the list where he has successfully bought and sold land. And I think I got lucky, honestly. I picked about three of those counties and was able to gather a list from those counties. And two out of those three counties that I picked actually resulted in some deals for me. At the time, I didn't know any different. I was kind of going in blind. I didn't know how to do county research. I think in combination with Mark's list, I just did some searching on Google to see, you know, is there land being bought and sold in these areas? And it swayed me toward those two or three counties.
So when you pick the counties that you chose, and then how many mailings did you start out doing? Were you just like, let me try like 50 or 100? You know, tell me about that moment and what fears maybe you had around that initial time period.
Sure. So I think we targeted 50 to 100 mailers a week and tried to stay consistent with that, because one of the things that Mark accentuates in the Investor Toolkit is just, you know, you need, in order to have constant deal flow, you need to constantly mail. So I tried to be very consistent in mailing 50 to 100 letters a week. And that part wasn't so scary for me. You know, and honestly, it's not that expensive if you think about it. I mean, you're sending out maybe 400 letters a month, which is just $200, right? For postage anyway, and then you have envelopes and toner and whatnot. So that part wasn't the nerve-wracking part. The nerve-wracking part was when I started getting letters back in the mail. A few angry letters, but a few letters where people really wanted me to purchase their property for what I offered them. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. Is this happening? And then the thing that really scared me was that first purchase, you know, that first time I sent $700 to someone that I didn't know to purchase a piece of property that I had never been to, wondering as I sent that $700, am I doing the right thing?
Did you pay for that after you got the paperwork, the warranty deed, and those kinds of things from the seller, or did you pay for it beforehand?
We did. We actually had an agreement where I sent him half of the purchase price. So I think I sent him $350, and then he sent me a notarized deed, and then I went ahead and got the deed recorded, and when it was recorded successfully, I sent him the remainder.
A half and half. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm actually kind of interested going through that right now, where a few people, they go through the process of getting me the deed first, then I pay them. And there's this one guy that's being advised by multiple people, and it's a really nice purchase of something that I'm buying for like $3,500 to $4,000. That's probably worth $15,000 to $20,000.
Great.
So I'm excited about it, but he's being advised to get paid ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
And so we're doing that whole back and forth dance.
Right.
That's
right.
Kind of interesting. So what we concluded is I'm going to go to the bank and he's going to go to the bank, and we'll do things simultaneously.
Okay, sure.
So this is someone that seems to be a good person as far as I can tell, but there's some risk, you know. I haven't had anything go bad yet out of the 15 or so properties I bought, but
right. Yeah, there is a little bit of risk, but and same with me. I haven't had any issues with, you know, I think we've bought and sold over 100 pieces of land now in the last 2.5 years. There are different ways of doing it. I do the half and half deal sometimes. Sometimes people are very trusting and go ahead and deed you the property before paying them. you know, and I think it all comes down to relationships. If you get on the phone with the person and you can tell that, you know, and they can tell that you're a genuine person, you know, tell them I have a legitimate business. You provide them with documentation that legitimizes your business. You know, people are comfortable with that type of transaction. I've used mobile notaries in the past to help close deals. Mm-hmm. So there are a few different ways to do it. But I find that, you know, if people are skeptical, I just try to get on the phone with them and try to develop a relationship. And I try to provide them with, you know, documentation that we are who we say we are and that type of thing.
So one of the things that comes up as you get started in this business is most of us, we have another job or two that we're doing, and you're trying to squeeze this stuff on the side. So walk us through those first few months after you bought the toolkit. You got a list, you're sending out letters, which I'm guessing was to the delinquent list, as we often talk about people that are behind on their property taxes. You're starting to get offers back. You're scared that first time you submit it, but you got the property bought, and you're moving forward. So take us from that moment, Scott. So now you've bought a few pieces of property. Were you trying to sell them immediately as well too? You know, walk us through the time balancing now that you're buying and selling.
Sure. So, I mean, the ideal situation is selling a property you have acquired within 30 days. So once I acquired a few properties, I was very motivated to sell, and I was marketing a lot at that time, only on Craigslist. So I was setting multiple ads a day on Craigslist to try to sell these properties. As far as the other aspects of the business, I was very motivated to change my life and to get to the point where I had some passive income coming in. And when I start something, I'm very dedicated to it. So I was putting in a lot of hours initially. I would say probably 15 hours a week, in addition to my other job and being a dad and everything else. So I was getting up at 5 a.m. I was going to bed late. But like I said, I was motivated. The other thing is, 2.5 years ago, we did not have the automated tools in the Land Geek community that we have now. So getting into the business now, and maybe you've noticed this with, you know, the Investor Toolkit versus Flight School, getting into like Flight School, it's becoming the kind of the gold standard with the Land Geek community as far as getting into the business. It's a 4-month long program, and you are almost immediately introduced to some tools that help save you a ton of time. So, you know, I don't think people have to spend that much time to get started now. I think if you just are able to spend an hour or two a day in this business, it will definitely move the needle. A few years ago, I just didn't have the tools in place. I was developing my own tools and that type of thing. So it was, you know, it was a very time consuming process, but you get out of it what you put into it. I'm a firm believer of that. And, you know, I went from that first year working my land business 15 hours a week to the next year down to 7 or 8 hours a week to now, where I'm working in my land business 3 to 4 hours a week because I have things so well in tune.
So one of the things that I've noticed, which is interesting, is there's so many different ways we can market the properties. You know, there's Craigslist that you mentioned, which was a place that you started. There's Land Watch and Land and Farm. There's Land Moto. There's Facebook. And I've noticed as you and I have gotten to know each other a little bit that you seem to be hitting at least 2 or 3 of those, if not maybe all 4 or 5. But there is a cost, you know, to doing this stuff. Like with Craigslist, you know, I go and I buy these proxies, and then I hire people to help do those ads because I don't want to take the time to do it. It takes too stinking long to put everything together when I can pay someone $5 or $6 an hour in Jamaica or in Philippines to help out with that stuff. And it's interesting just to see how that's evolving. And I get more leads that way. I think properties are selling faster, but it does take an investment of money. to get that going. I'd love to know from you, like, at what point were you investing money in marketing? And if you could do it all over, would you do anything different now that you know what you know now?
I think if I had to do it all over again, I would have delegated some of these tasks sooner. So I probably spent more time in the business than I needed to, and didn't get help as quickly as I should have. That's probably one thing I wish I would have done differently, because you're right. It is an investment. I mean, you do need to spend money for marketing. But the other thing that happens over time is that, I mean, your passive income gets higher and higher and higher. Your costs monthly really stay the same. So, you know, 2.5 years into this, Dave, you're gonna feel less pain with those expenses than you are currently, you know, just getting into it. But I mean, even still, the overhead in this business is really not bad. You have to pay for mailings. I have a website that I, you know, subscribe to monthly. I pay a little bit for marketing. It's really not bad as far as overhead goes. And that overhead pretty much stays the same as you move forward. So, you know, you're going to feel, you know, I'm proud to say my wife and I, we just hit a couple months ago over 5 figures a month in passive income. I mean, nice. I can't tell you the nice. Feeling of peace that brings me, knowing that, you know, if something had to happen next month, if I had to quit my job for whatever reason, I have that income coming to me. You know what I mean? So I guess that was a long way to answer your question there, but I guess that's what I would do differently is delegate some of these tasks more quickly. And as far as costs go, I mean, when you look at other business models, the costs to run this business are minuscule compared to others.
Oh yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you in that the more many businesses I think are this way in that, they benefit off of scale, right? So the more volume you do, the smaller right. those costs become. Like, for example, on Landmodo, you can advertise for $80 a month. Well, that's a fixed cost. It doesn't go up the more right. properties that you have. So I could have 100 properties on there and the cost yep. to me is the same compared to having 2 or 3, which that's per property, right? That's mm-hmm. a lot more expensive. So I think there's a lot of benefits to scale. And I think there's something to be said for testing too, you know, not necessarily going crazy, right? Like that's why they normally say to start out with 100 mailings a week. You don't want to do 1,000 when you're not right. ready for it yet. So I think there's kind of a balance there. So I'd love to know, Scott, as your journey continues here, where you talked about that point where you sold a property, you made, you know, 5 times your money on it or whatever that number was. What happened then at that point? I think you said you were 6 months into your journey or something.
When I got my point. First sale?
No, you had mentioned, I'd had you go back in time because you talked about you had bought a property for $700 and you sold it for $3,500 or $4,000.
I purchased it for $700 and sold it for $2,800. So I quadrupled my investment there. I actually did that pretty quick. I think after I got the investor toolkit, that transaction occurred about 6 weeks later. So wow. deals for me started happening pretty quickly. Like I said, I was putting in a lot of time. After that, I talked earlier about my, you know, that was my first aha moment in this business. The second aha moment in this business was when I met Mark Podolsky at the Land Geek Boot Camp in Las Vegas in the fall of 2015. The community is amazing. And to go to that conference and hear all of the stories of these land investors and all of their backgrounds, which are so diverse. I mean, we have teachers, doctors, lawyers, investment bankers, real estate agents. You know, it's pretty amazing to to interact with this community of diverse individuals who all tend to bring something really cool to the table. I mean, you might have a really awesome background story. You might have, you know, a gift that you can share with the community, whether, you know, it's something techie or geeky or whatever. And then you're, you know, if people are, have been in real estate for 20 years, they obviously are going to bring something to the table as well. So that was my second aha moment, was meeting Mark and the community. And when we went to boot camp, we came out of there, my wife and I were so motivated to change our lives that we were all chips on the table. Let's do this. So we went right into one-on-one coaching. And at this time, I think it was about 3 months after I'd purchased the Investor Toolkit. We went right into one-on-one coaching and never looked back. It was a year-long program. It's definitely an investment, but the really great thing about our investment was we paid for it with land. So, I mean, that first year we were able to pay back our investment and then some, make some more money to pay for some other life things that came up, you know, high medical bills and a little bit of debt that we wanted to get rid of. So it, you know, that first year, I think we did 30 to 40 deals, something like that. And coaching just, you know, it accelerates that process, gets you to the point where a year later you're doing deals and you're bringing in a lot of passive income. And the first year I did focus a lot on wholesale deals. So I would buy a property for $1,000, sell it for $2,000. And I did that all day long over and over again. And, you know, that really helped pay for the startup costs in this business and my coaching and all that. So.
So tell us about the wholesaling. How did you find, so these were wholesaling for those of us that may not, there's kind of wholesale and retail prices. So wholesale is about half of the retail price on average. Whereas retail, you're selling to the general public. Wholesale, you might be selling to other investors in the area. So tell us about the wholesaling, Scott, you know, that you did. How did you find wholesale?
Well, I found them the exact same way we've spoken about. I acquired a county list, sent out mailers to those people. And, you know, we make money on the buy. So, you know, when you're able to purchase property for 25% of the market value, and if you're wanting to move the needle quickly and get some cash flow in your business, these properties sell really quickly. So, you know, if the market value for a lot is $4,000 and I spend $1,000 on it, in a matter of days, I was selling these properties, you know, for $2,000 or $2,500. Now, could I have maybe made more on those lots? Yes, but that was my strategy at the time, was to move them really quickly. So when you're buying cheap and selling cheap, you can gain a lot of ground really quickly and just rinse and repeat and do it over and over and over again to get to the point where you want to be as far as some cash flow goes. So we did that a lot the first year.
So how did you find we understand the buying process, but on that selling process of wholesale, how did you find people to sell the property?
So again, that was primarily Craigslist at the time. I was posting a lot of properties on Craigslist, and I mean, when you post a cheap property on Craigslist that, you know, that has the features that these people are looking for, whether it be recreation or, you know, they just want to invest in land, and they see that what I'm selling the property for is less than market value, they're motivated. So there were a lot of people knocking on my door with Craigslist 2.5 years ago to purchase these properties. So that's how I found them. And then the great thing about it was I started generating a buyer list. You know, and you're in the midst of this now, Dave. You're trying to get all these leads. You're trying to collect every email address you can to put people on a buyer list, right? So I try to send a marketing email to those people weekly with my current properties. And the longer you're in this, you have people that, you know, you may have spoken to a year ago that now want to purchase land from you. And then you have repeat buyers also. So that buyer list is really powerful. And I, at that time, was starting to generate that. I started having success with my buyer list just a few months, you know, into coaching. So that's definitely something that's become very important to our business.
Interesting. So your wholesale deals that you found, you sold them to retail
Correct.
Buyers. Am I understanding that right? Not other
land buyers. Now, some people do that. You know, as you'll see, a lot of people will sell wholesale in the Land Geek community, in our Facebook group and whatnot. But yeah, at the time, I was just selling them to retail folks.
Okay, so you just basically give them a nice big fat discount just to
exactly
the property quickly. Interesting. Yeah, I haven't tried that yet. The wholesale deals I have been to other land geeks in the community,
right,
which has been great. You know, because you build relationships up, and you know that they'll buy potentially more
exactly
properties down the road. Which, if you take a look at some of the deals that I've had so far in my short little career, I've now bought and sold, let's see,
great,
8 different properties, and half of them were wholesale.
Okay.
To other land investors. And what's been great is, you know, I go back to those people now and say, hey, I got another property. You want to check it out? You know, if
exactly
I'm looking to generate the cash. But my goal now, kind of like what you said, is to try and get more notes and retail type prices, which for at least for me takes a little bit longer.
For selling?
Despite some of the marketing and stuff like that. And eventually, you know, I know that these things will sell because they're pretty darn good properties and somebody's going to want it. You know, it's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. For now, for you, do you really hold to like that month long amount, you know, that's, oh, I held it in a month, I need to get rid of it? Or, you know, how do you look at that now, Scott, with now, you know, trying to sell more of these properties on?
Yeah, I really do try to move them as quickly as possible. So if I, you know, if I don't have many leads on a property in 30 days, I'm changing up the marketing or changing the price potentially, or changing the down payment, or doing a special deal to my buyer list where maybe I'll waive, you know, a document processing fee or that type of thing. So that's kind of my strategy now. I do try to move them as quickly as possible. There are a few that you're not able to move quite as quickly. But in the end, it's fine because you're still making money on the buy. And if you end up selling it 2 or 3 months down the road, you're still doing well. So, I mean, there isn't a case usually where I'm trying to sell a lot for months and months and months. The other thing that's really great about this business is, and I hated this initially, was the power of the default, because you have buyers that purchase from you on terms, and they, for whatever reason, 3 or 4 months later, disappear. So they've paid you a down payment, they've paid you a document processing fee, they've paid you a few months worth on your note. And then for whatever reason, they disappear. And despite all the emails and texts and phone calls and certified letters I send them, they just, for whatever reason, decide that the property isn't for them, or maybe it's not a good time in their lives or whatnot. But at that point, the property is nearly paid for, and I have all the marketing materials, so we just repost it. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, a default is not nearly as painful as it was 2 years ago, because yes, you may lose that passive income, but it's only going to be temporarily, and you can sell it again, usually pretty quickly.
All right. Well, let's take a pause here for a second and go to our commercial break. Well, if you are like some members of my audience, you are committed to being an amazing doctor and succeeding at life. But the truth is, you've never had all this financial training during medical school, and you're just struggling with enough time to do it all. Well, my friend, over 2 years ago, I started on this journey of writing my next book. And it was a book for residents and fellows, and I reached out to a few potential authors, and Amanda Liu joined me on this journey. Finally! finally, it is available, The Physician's Guide, The Young Physician's Guide to Money and Life. It is packed with pretty much anything and everything you want to know as a young physician. Millionaire mindset, debt payoff, buying your first home, and contract negotiation. Now, of course, you can pick it up at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any major vendor. However, if you want the best deal possible, you are going to want to get it from me by texting DOCBOOK, that's all one word, DOCBOOK, to 44222, or going to drfreedompodcast.com/DOCBOOK. Now, why am I suggesting to do this? Well, it's because I am offering the sun, the moon, and the stars when you buy it directly from me. Because not only will you get a physical copy of the book, for only about $25, $24.95, you are going to get the following as a bonus. Of course, the physical copy of the book, an electronic copy of the book, an audio copy of my other book, The Freedom Formula for Physicians, all of the episodes of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, over 4 seasons worth of material, and you're going to get an electronic copy of the newest edition of the Tax Reduction Prescriptions. And on top of that, you're going to get a whole new write-up on my journey in land investing. You're going to get exclusive content on that as I am going forward. My friends, this is over $100 retail of priceless knowledge. Are you ready to pick up this book and all the bonuses and get all that financial training that you've desired? You're going to get it from me by texting DOCBOOK. Again, that's all one word, DOCBOOK, to 44222. Or going to www.drfreedompodcast.com/DOCBOOK. To snag your copy now, text DOCBOOK to 44222. Or going to drfreedompodcast.com/DOCBOOK. And now, back to the show. That's great. Well, and especially the more you're in the business too, the more emails you have, you know, you have more of everything, right? So you have more buyers, you know, your system's better. So walk us through, Scott, you know, how you mentioned you're spending 15 hours a week and then it became 7 and then now it's like 5 or whatever. Walk us through how you've built the business in terms of having other people help you out and what that's
sure. Been. So, I use a couple virtual assistants now that in my business that help me with list scrubbing and with gathering my due diligence information on properties. And the nice thing is those folks can go into the LandGeek proprietary automated software system online where we do all aspects of our business and enter information for me about these properties. So the work that I used to do on my own 2 years ago, you know, gathering all the information I needed to about the property, as you know, Dave, it can take a few hours, right? Now I pay someone to do that for me at, you know, $5 to $8 an hour and don't have to think, don't have to expend hardly any energy in my due diligence process. So that's been huge for me. I have automated, some of the marketing stuff. That's another one of my goals this year. You know, this is a continual process. It has been a side hustle for me. You know, I'm trying not to lose sight of the fact that I have a family and I still have a job that I like and that type of thing. So if I wanted to, I could probably streamline things if I went back to doing, you know, 10 to 15 hours a week, but I'm just at the point where I have enough income coming in where I don't feel the need to do that. So for me, I'm moving maybe a little bit more slowly than maybe other folks, right? Mm-hmm. Like for instance, one of our coaches, Eric Peterson, he works from home. And I think that he's been able to kill it. I think a lot of people are able to kill it when they're able to work from home and that type of thing. And I just, you know, I'm not there yet. I think when I get to $15,000 to $20,000 a month passive income, which should hopefully happen this year, I'm going to be pretty confident in kind of throwing in the towel at work and working, you know, when I want to on my terms in kind of a PRN setting. But for right now, I'm working full time and that type of thing. So, you know, it's a process. I'm slowly continuing to develop my machine. And what I always tell people, and I tell this to patients all the time, you know, as a physical therapist, I see people who it takes a long time for them to get better sometimes. So I always say to them, you know, it's a journey, and you got to remember where you were a month ago. So if you feel like, you know, looking back, you know, for instance, I was talking to a person about his back pain the other day, you know, Fred, are you better now than you were a month ago? And hands down, without any hesitation, he says, yes. That's how I have to remind him, okay, well, I know you're frustrated that you have 10 or 20% left to go to get better, but look at where you were a month ago, right? You've come a long ways. You've made a lot of progress. And that's really how I look at my land business. I look at where I was a month ago. And if I can definitively, hands down, say that, hey, I'm better than I was a month ago, I'm on the right track. That's kind of how I measure things. And if I look back and say, you know, oh, things aren't much different than a month ago, that means I need to work a little bit harder. So that's kind of the mindset I use. Look at things kind of monthly, sit down at the beginning of the month and ask myself, okay, where are we? Are we moving in the right direction? My next goals are to definitely get all of my marketing automated or delegated. But I have a 17-year-old teenage son who's motivated to do that for me. So that's going to be his summer job. One of his summer jobs. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Internship. That's awesome. Well, and what a great lesson to pass on too, you know, to the kids. You know, maybe he can buy a piece of property and then try.
That's exactly right. My 11-year-old has some interest in doing that. So he's actually been helping me in the business, or he helped me in the business quite a bit the first year and a half, because I was not automating my mailings. I was printing them all at home and sending them out myself. And he was assisting me in, you know, stuffing the envelopes and stamping the envelopes and getting them out the door. So he made a little bit of money with me. And I said, you know, Sam, if you could raise, let's say, $500, we'll go in on a piece of property together and we can do a cash sale. So he's got some money saved up and he's not to 500 yet. You know, kids nowadays, they gotta spend their money, right? It burns a hole in their pocket. So, but I think
I don't think that's changed. Yeah, I think it's always been right. That way.
So,
you know?
But I think he's going to get there here in the next year. So that'll be pretty fun. I think, and a good learning process for him. The older kids, I haven't been able to convince quite as well. I don't know what it is, but well, maybe I'll make some headway with my older 17-year-old this summer and kind of get him motivated to do the same thing.
That's great. Well, and not everyone's cut out for it either. But I think one of the things that I appreciate about the business and the business model that is different than any other kind of real estate investing is it doesn't take a whole lot of capital and you can go at your own pace. So if someone wants to do 25 mailings a week or 50 mailings a week, because that's the only budget or time that they have, they can, right? But if someone wants to acquire more property and has more capital to put to work, that they can. So that's why for me, you know, I started out with like 120, you know, now I'm doing 250 a week, something like that. And that's because I want to scale it quickly and want to generate that. So that means that the cash flow is a bit more negative for a time period, right? But then it ends up being made up as I make the sales. So I'm running a little bit behind, you know, every month, but because we're saving enough, we can make that happen. So should things change, I could scale it down if I want to. You know, I could, if I absolutely had to, I could stop mailing, I could stop marketing and just collect the passive income that we have. So, you know, I think that's the beauty about this is you can really go at your own pace. You can change the pace up or down or sideways or whatever to really make it work for you and your schedule. You know, if you want to hire everyone to help out as you learn it, you can do that, you know, and you could maybe not make as much money, but then you don't have to spend the time, which for many physicians that are listening to this podcast, I think they have to learn it themselves first. As Mike Zeno often says, your partner in crime in robes. But I really think that for physicians that are listening, as Scott has mentioned, he's at the point now where doesn't have to work on the business a whole lot, which I think for most of you, if you want to keep working 80% or higher, you know, that's probably something you'd have to do pretty quickly. So that way you don't have to spend 15, 20 hours on it as Scott has, and as I do currently, in trying to scale things and make it work, and slowly hiring assistants has kind of been my approach, because I'd rather do more mailings and get more properties than spend money that way than spending money on the assistants, which I do have at this particular point. Altogether, you know, I'm probably spending $500 a month on the marketing stuff. When you add up all the proxies, the virtual assistants that are placed in the Craigslist ads, the software, you know, the Landmodo, Landwatch, all of those kinds of things. So it does add up, and there's a real cost. And that's not even including the marketing side of mailings, where, you know, I'm spending with $1,000 a month. I've been spending over $1,000 a month because I didn't want to figure out the software. So I hired someone else to do stuff for me. So I bought myself the speed, but now I'm learning the system, and we're going to get on the software here shortly. So I can cut that cost by about 50 cents a letter or so. So those are some of the things I've been struggling with. And so, Scott, I'd love to know from you in our remaining time we have, the next 5-10 minutes. So the point that I'm at is, you know, now we've increased the mailings. We're doing 250 a week. I have a lot of deal flow and inventory. Right now I have just this week I bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 properties this week. And we have 3 properties that were already in inventory. And now I have another probably 4 or 5 that are in process that I've sent the warranty deed to and waiting to get it back. So I've spent a lot of time doing the due diligence, and I struggle with the wanting to spend more money on someone helping me out. You know, when I'm already spending $500 on that stuff, and recurring revenue right now, I have about $500 a month. So those two are kind of evening themselves out, absent, you know, cash sales or wholesaling, which I look at the wholesaling as kind of paying for the letters. Is kind of how I looked at the wholesaling. So I had a wholesale deal that paid for my letters, you know, for the last month and a half, 2 months. So then all that after that now is just profit on the buy price minus the sell price minus the buy price. So that's kind of what I'm struggling with right this moment. I'm wondering, knowing that, and what would you be thinking about now from an outside perspective, looking in terms of what I got going on and what I should be thinking of next over the next month or two as we look forward.
So just to clarify, do you have anybody helping you with your due diligence at all? Okay.
No.
You've been doing that yourself.
I've been doing that myself. So right now I have people that have been helping me with some of the mailing list stuff. I have people, and some of it I've done myself to a degree, because I kind of enjoy it, actually. The other thing that I've hired out almost exclusively is doing the Craigslist ads, because I just, you know, I was doing a few of them, and I was like, you know, to do 8 or 9 or 10 a day that it requires, you know, there's no way in heck. And plus, you look at the number of leads that come in relative to the ads, it's very little fruit relative to the number of ads that you place. So, you know, like, it's not worth the reward. Sure. I'd rather hire someone to take care of that for me. So that was the first thing that I really spent significant money on. So of the 500, you know, that's probably including the proxies, probably 200 to 300 a month just on that side of things.
Yeah. So I guess my advice would be, you know, ideally down the road, you want a passive income machine where all plates are spinning at the same time. So, you know, we have different areas of this business that we need to automate and get moving. It sounds like you're moving in the right direction with your mailings. It sounds like you're moving in the right direction with your marketing. I think the next thing I would work on is probably delegating your due diligence. I know, you know, now a lot of people like different aspects of the business. Some people like doing due diligence. Some people like doing marketing. But, you know, what I always ask people is, you know, how much is your time worth? Yes, you may like doing this, but if you can spend $5 to $8 an hour to have somebody do due diligence on a property for you, and you only need, you know, and it takes maybe 2 hours, is your time worth that $10? And I would say in a heartbeat, yes. So that's probably what I would start to do, Dave, is start to think about strategies to delegate your due diligence processes. And I use training videos a lot. I map things out on paper a lot, so I'll kind of draw out a little algorithm about, you know, and step-by-step process on how to do things to kind of confirm in my mind that everything is flowing how it should. And then I present that to my VA, and I present a training video to the VA. And then it's kind of off my plate. So, you know, my time with my kids and my wife is really valuable. And it's gotten to the point where I'd rather, you know, spend that $10 for sure getting that due diligence done. So I think that sounds like you're on the right track with everything. And that's probably the next phase you need to get into. So
with that, Scott, one of the things that I do, and I'm curious to hear your feedback on it, I actually call the county, right, to get what are the back taxes owed mm-hmm. on this property. So they'd have to call a U.S. number to do that. So do you have someone call to verify that, or is there another way that you go about do it? Because certainly, you know, getting stuff like screenshots from Google Maps and getting details on the property, like the legal description, you know, a lot of that stuff could all be done online. So I have no doubt that that stuff could be done easy. But what about, you know, calling the county, you know, to verify some of this stuff? Or do you even have them call the county?
So it depends on the county, because sometimes you can find that information online. So I have my in that regard, the due diligence process is quite easy. And then, you know, I'm also having my VA email a couple counties that I'm working in and getting copies of deeds for me and uploading those into our software so I can do a chain of title search there myself. So that's one strategy in that, you know, so much is online nowadays that you can sometimes find the right county where all this stuff. Some of it's online, and then you can have your VA email the county regarding, you know, can I get the past deeds for this property, you know, over the past 20 years. So that's one approach. The other approach is, I think some people use partners. So my wife is actually working in the business with me as well. So we have not gotten to the point where we need an acquisition manager yet. We will get to that point when she and I are spending more time together during the days and not working quite as hard. So I see that happening maybe a year from now. But people hire acquisition managers when they get to the point where their business is very profitable to, you know, handle all of that stuff. Right now, honestly, my wife calls the county and it takes her, you know, 30 seconds to ask, are there any back taxes or liens on this property? And she enters that into the due diligence system. There we go. So, you know, partners are a strategy, a lot of online tools, and then also acquisition managers are used by a lot of folks once they're, you know, in a profitable business. You know, it takes a little while. Like, you know, if you're sending out 1,000 mailings a month, Dave, a year from now, you're going to be sitting pretty good, I think, with your passive income. So, you know, you might want to consider hiring somebody in to do some of that stuff for you.
Yeah, it's hard to see a year out, right? You know, there's so many thoughts that go through my head of, well, what if the economy changes? And, you know, certainly things have been good overall. And we talk about this on the Mark on his podcast. It ain't going to be that way forever, right? So, you know, I have those kind of thoughts that go through my head too, because I've seen it so many times in so many ways that things do change and the economy does change. But anyhow, I think regardless, the nice thing about this business is that you have collateral, right? You have land. The land isn't going to go anywhere. You know, maybe if you're in the Bay Area or someplace like that, it could fall into the ocean. But outside of that,
vacant land is pretty stable. But and you know, that's something that gives me great peace is is, you know, it's much less volatile. It's a much less volatile investment method than a lot of things out there. So, you know, if I had all my money in the stock market, I'd be going to bed every night nervous. But I look at my land portfolio and kind of the enterprise value of what I've developed over the last 2.5 years, and I go to bed at night feeling peaceful because it is a very stable investment. It's very lucrative. The returns in this business are crazy. I mean, you'll see, Dave, once every 3 or 4 months, you'll get this deal that you can't even believe if you keep up with your mailings. You know, it's phenomenal. I mean, even, you know, I'll just give you an example. A week or a month ago, I purchased a plot of land for $3,000. And in 2 days, I sold the land for $3,500 down. And a $500 payment monthly. So I had my money and then some at the start of the deal, and it's, you know, infinite return on your money. And so every once in a while you get these deals, you know, that are just crazy. You see in our community all the time. How many times do you see in the Facebook community somebody taking a picture of, you know, $50, $100 bills in their hand? because they just did a cash sale, right? It's pretty phenomenal. So, and that makes it a lot of fun. And the other thing about the community is we all feed off of that. We all encourage one another. I think maybe you would agree that it's a pretty supportive community. People feed off each other. As Mark says, it's all about abundance mentality, and that's really what it is in the Lambie community. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I would do it all again in a heartbeat.
Well, and I think regardless of how much you gain to know in the business, I think the benefit of doing the various programs, the toolkit to start out with, as both you and I did, I signed up for the flight school, which it completed the main sessions of it a couple of weeks ago. You know, I think the main benefit is I've been building the relationships. I really think the flight school for me wasn't so much about the knowledge as much as some of the relationships and people going along the journey with you, as well as some accountability too, right? To help keep you on track and keep you going, which is important. And some people need that way more than others do. But I think going through the journey with other people, and then hopefully down the road, you end up knowing each other and you can wholesale with one another and do deals together and all those kinds of things. So I think that's one of the big benefits of the group coaching. And then the individual coaching, you know, you can really spend time with someone like yourself or with some of these other guys that are doing even up to 6 figures a month in income. So you really can gain knowledge from these people that are doing some pretty amazing things. And some of them younger than me, I'm 36, and you know, there's going on 37, and there's guys in there that are in their late 20s, you know, the decade younger than me doing crazy money on this stuff. So it's inspiring. So Scott, why don't we wrap up for today? Do you have any closing thoughts and resources you want to run by those of us that are
sure
listening?
I'd love to speak with any of you about our Land Geek programs. You can, you know, I would just encourage anybody to do some research on the business model. Go to thelandgeek.com and see, see all that Mark has to offer there on the website. If you want to schedule a call with me to chat about our coaching programs, you can do that at www.thelandgeek.com/training. And I would be happy to speak with folks about our programs and go into a little bit more detail as, you know, as far as my story and how things are going and how we can maybe do that for others. So I think, you know, the last thing I think I would say is I think this is a great side hustle for people who have full-time jobs, people in healthcare, doctors, nurses, physical therapists like myself. I mean, you can, like I said, if you spend an hour or two a day in this business, you will move the needle. And that's what I've done. And we're definitely heading in the right direction. So it's a passive income model that I just think is so powerful and will continue to improve our lives. So if anybody wants to talk about it, I'd be glad to do that.
Bam, there you go. And you guys know, you know, I'm being transparent about what's going on with me, and I can personally attest that this does work. I want to close this out with just giving you guys, you'll have heard in the last quarterly update some of the numbers, but if you missed that show, here are some of the details of the deals that I have done in the last few months. So if you add up all of my purchases, a total of $12,000 worth of purchases, total sales price, including some of these notes, assuming that everyone pays, is a total of $36,000. So that's a total of $24,000 that we've generated in a short time period. Now, we haven't realized all of that cash yet, but some of that we certainly have. And we still have the land on some of those notes. But that is the power, my friends, of what you do. And just like Scott mentioned, some of these properties sell really quick. Here's an example. I bought one on March 7th, mm-hmm. sold it on March 11th. Bought one on February 21st, sold it on March 9th. Bought one on March 14th, mm-hmm. sold it on March 14th. Bought one on March 9th, sold it on March 16th. So, you know, these things do happen. This is real. It's not some scam. If you have any questions about it, you have questions about this stuff, Scott isn't paying me. Mark isn't paying me to have Scott on this program. I do this because I think it's a service to this community. So feel free to reach out to me as well if you have any questions. Scott, any other closing thoughts?
No, I just think, you know, keep moving forward and with anything in life, I think, you know, just ask yourself, are you better than you were a month ago? That's kind of my mantra. And, If we're all doing that, we're moving in the right direction. So,
perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for being with us. And my friends, this wraps up another episode today of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping doctors like you slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. See ya. All right, my friends. Well, that was the show for today. I hope you loved it. And I just want to give you one more reminder. My newest book, The Young Physician's Guide to Money and Life, is available right now. $25. You get the sun, the moon, the stars, all kinds of bonuses, $100 worth of priceless knowledge. Are you ready to go and pick this book up? If so, you're going to want to get it from me and get all those bonuses by texting DocBook, that's DocBook, to 44222, or going to the website drfreedompodcast.com/DocBook. Again, snag your copy now by texting DocBook, that's all one word, to 44222, or going to drfreedompodcast.com/DocBook.